Welcome to What's New in National Defense Magazine, a podcast on military, homeland security, and technology trends, available on Apple News. In this episode, National Defense discusses new technologies to power soldiers on the go, the service's efforts to replace the Black Hawk helicopter, and the Air Force's waning airlift capacity. First, the Army is looking at new technology that harvests energy from a variety of sources, from the heat generated by a soldier's body to the fuel already widely used in the service to power troops on the go. The service envisions a future where soldiers will be carrying even more high-tech equipment that will require batteries or other sources. At the same time, the Army is preparing to transition from large logistical footprints to operating in more distributed formations. How to power the individual soldier will be addressed in the operational energy strategy slated for release by the end of 2022, along with a slew of additional actions that aim to optimize the service's power usage with more efficient, diverse, and sustainable sources, he said. In the meantime, the industry is making strides in next-generation energy harvesting and power generation. Companies are working both with the Defense Department and independently to mature their technologies and turn them into products useful to the soldier. One potential opportunity for the Army is thermoelectric power, said a representative of the Silicon Valley-based Matrix Industries. Thermoelectric generators can convert the difference in temperature between two points into electricity. When the generator is placed on something warm, like the engine of an M1 Abrams or the skin of a soldier, electrons move from the hot to the cold side of the device to create an electric current. The company has developed technology that uses small temperature differences to create self-sustaining thermal energy and power electronics, he said. This technology could boost current Army efforts to improve the lifespan of batteries used to power equipment. On average, a soldier will be carrying 5 to 8 different batteries during missions, an Army official said. Next, the Army is looking to replace the venerable but aging Black Hawk helicopter. Competitors are putting the finishing touches on their offerings. The service is expected to make a decision on its future long-range assault aircraft, or FLRAA program, this fall, a decision so imminent that the Army has entered a quiet period on the competition. Future vertical lift, which includes FLRAA, and the service's future Scout helicopter, is one of the Army's top 3 major modernization priorities as the service prepares for a great power competition with China and Russia. The first Army unit is slated to be equipped with FLRAA by fiscal year 2030. The rapidly approaching contract decision doesn't mean that both teams haven't been busy. Executives at opposing aerospace teams, Boeing Sikorsky and Bell Textron, said they are using the coming months to lower risk for their platforms through additional testing and qualifications and digital manufacturing efforts. Each team has developed a platform radically different from the Black Hawk, which dates back to the 1970s. One Boeing and one Sikorsky pilot flew the Defiant X, the team's prototype based on the Sikorsky X-2 experimental coaxial twin-rotor helicopter, 700 nautical miles from West Palm Beach, Florida, to Nashville for the Army Aviation Association of America Summit in April. Until the competition decision, Boeing and Sikorsky will continue to fly the Defiant X and run tests that expand the flight envelope, a company executive stated. While Bell's V-280 prototype, a tilt rotor based on the V-21 Osprey designed by Bell, isn't seeing as much flying time, the company is working just as hard to reduce risk for the program, a company executive said. After the prototype aircraft stopped flying, Bell's engineering team removed gearboxes and performed inspections and engineering validations. Bell wants to show how quickly it can manufacture parts once the program starts. The company opened its manufacturing technology center last year to reduce cycle times across its enterprise. Shortening construction time for the V-280 is one of its primary focuses. For example, one shaft used on the tilt rotor has a lead time of 330 days, but the center has been able to cut it down to 16 hours, a company representative said. Developing training and system integration options for the platform will be another focus of Bell's time leading up to a contract award. Last, we look at the Air Force's fleet of airlifters, which is roughly half the size it was during the 1990s. They have been operating at high tempo for two decades, wearing out airplanes with no near-term prospect of replacement, and further cuts to the force planned despite projected demand for airlift that will operate in increasingly contested environments. It's a problem the U.S. Transportation Command commander highlighted in statements before the Senate Armed Services Committee in March. The Air Force's largest airlift fleet, the C-130 Force, has experienced the greatest change of all mobility priorities over recent decades, losing almost 50% of its capacity from a high of well over 500 aircraft in Operation Desert Storm to the current programmed levels, she testified. Currently, the Air Force has 279 C-130s. The shift away from a two major war sizing construct to a de-emphasis on other high-priority global missions drove reductions, the commander said. Another Air Force officer testified that the service's goal is a fleet of 255 C-130s, with 163 C-130Js, the newest version of the C-130 first delivered in 1999, and 92 C-130H model Hercules produced between 1965 and 1996. But that goal hasn't been realized so far, according to the fiscal year 2023 Air Force budget request, which shows a capacity of 271 C-130 aircraft. The 2022 National Defense Authorization Act specified only 88 C-130Hs. Cuts to aircraft capacity aren't limited to the C-130 fleet. Since 1970, the Air Force has operated the C-5 Galaxy as its strategic airlifter. A total of 131 were built, but just 52 modernized C-5Ms remain in service. The Air Force now has 223 Boeing C-70s serving alongside the C-5 fleet. The numbers show a decline in capacity at a time when demand for airlift looks likely to increase. America's pullout from Afghanistan was expected to alleviate some of the pressure on airlift. But with ongoing operations in Europe to bolster NATO and support Ukraine, and a national defense strategy that calls for increasing operations through the Indo-Pacific to deter China, demand isn't going away. Meanwhile, emerging military doctrine calls for widely dispersed operations of U.S. air, ground, and sea forces to complicate plans for aggression by China or Russia. Check out our website and read more stories in the most recent issue of National Defense at www.nationaldefensemagazine.org, and look for copies at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million stores across the United States.